This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
100 years. 100 champions.
The Packers were crowned world champions in the gelid confines of their own arena.
A century of football is the backdrop for this NFL season.
Riggins.
A centennial celebration of the ghosts and the goats.
Montana launches it for the end zone. Jerry Rice!
The NFL at 100. What will happen next?
Oh, my God. Tyree just goes up for it like a basketball player.
It's 150 years of college football as new national powers emerge.
Watson throws for a touchdown with 1 second to go.
Superstars are dominating Saturdays like never before.
Joe Burrow, shotgun snap, launches way down the field. Chase, touchdown, Tigers!
Find out every week. It's Sunday Morning Football with your host, T.A., only on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams. With their help, they can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button. Get Mortgage. How we doing, everybody? Happy Sunday morning to you. So glad you're with us on the first day of December 2019, and we have a wonderful show set up. We always love jumping in and jumping on the airwaves and breaking down college football before we get to the craziness of the NFL. And so often the NFL news and games and highlights overwhelms the sports landscape. Well, today is a day, this morning is a morning, to really drill down on college football, because yesterday was a hell of a day, highlighted, of course, by the wacky Iron Bowl. Has there ever been a wackier one? We'll talk about it. Also, we'll talk about Michigan and Ohio State, namely Ohio State boat racing the Wolverines yet again. What happened to this rivalry? We'll also get excessive celebration in here. The greatest play-by-play calls of college football's action on a fine Saturday. And how about this, you NFL fans, especially those that go back a little bit a ways? Rocky Blyer, four-time Super Bowl champion with the Pittsburgh Steelers, is going to join us. Rocky Blyer won all four Super Bowls in the backfield with Franco Harris in the 70s with the Steelers at a first-row seat for the greatest defense arguably ever in the Steel Curtain. All of those Hall of Famers at every position. We'll talk to Rocky about some of his favorite moments and the best Steelers team that he was on that didn't win a Super Bowl. Coming up here on the show in approximately 35 minutes from now. As always, throughout this season, we're celebrating 100 years of the NFL with some phenomenal guests, Super Bowl winners, and NFL Hall of Famers. Also, we've got your Vegas standpoint next hour. Mitch Moss is going to join us for the Vegas Stats and Information Network to look at today's NFL lines. The Iron Bowl. Whew. I mean, did it live up to the hype? Holy cow. That game had it all. And had a lot on the line as well. Did the SEC just prove why it's the best country in America? Let's start with your Sunday gunslinger.
In football's Wild West, he shoots from the hip.
We need men like him to make towns safer, decent people.
DA is the Sunday gunslinger.
When you have to shoot, shoot, don't talk.
All right, let's do it.
So pick which play or plays you consider the best out of this game. Was it a kickoff return for a touchdown? Was it a pick six? Was it a pick six from one end zone to the other? Was it an end of the half field goal? Was it a game tying field goal that went doink? Was it a running touchdown where the running back exploded the helmet off of a defensive player?
Which one was it? Because I can't quite figure out what was the highlight of one of the craziest games that we've seen in years.
On third and five from the 11, hands the ball to Shivers, cuts it inside the five. He's into the end zone. Shivers just ran through a man. Touchdown, Auburn.
When he knocked McKinney's helmet off and kept running, that is a run right there on the jet sweep. Leveled McKinney at the five and just kept running as his helmet flew upward.
Snap is down, the kick is on the way, and the kick, he missed it.
He missed it. It hit the upright. And with 2 minutes to go, Auburn will get the ball back, leading by three. Wow. Can you believe it?
It was a team effort. It was defense. It was offense. It was special teams, you know. We got the penalty, you know, at the very end right there. We put our punter on with the offense, and they had their defense, and then their punt return, and then they got 12 guys. So it was just really, it was an overall team win, and it was a big one for us.
When you play against good teams, that's when those things bite you, because now you got more to overcome than, you know, when you play somebody that's not as good as you and you just beat them because you're better than them, those things don't matter as much.
Andy Burcham on Auburn IMG Sports Network. That, of course, was Malzahn and Saban. Andy Burcham was the profile piece, the subject of a very emotional spot done on College Game Day about the passing of Rod Bramblett, the previous Auburn play-by-play man and a close friend of Andy's. So the day had it all, and this is why the SEC is the best conference in the country, and I'll tell you. Yes, those in the Big Ten, those out west, those in the Midwest, those in the Northeast. Oh, it's always about SEC. Oh, SEC this, SEC that. Here's why the conference is the best, and there is no argument. You just saw the best rivalry with the best teams, arguably, in the Big Ten earlier in the day, and it was slop. One team was great, and one team couldn't hang on the field. If you want to dial it back a week, you get to say that the biggest rivalry in the sport in the Big Ten is now Ohio State-Penn State? Again, that did not have what we had yesterday. In the SEC, there's two games right now that really matter. It is Alabama-LSU and Alabama-Auburn, and both of those games not only lived up to the hype, were two of the craziest, greatest, best, most highlights, most exciting, most zany games we have in the last 5 to 10 years in college football. It always delivers when it matters most. And that's why it was the best, and that's why it is the best. And yesterday, Auburn again proves that they can play with Alabama, unlike Michigan and Ohio State. What is it in the Big 12? Oklahoma, Texas? That doesn't have nearly the national implications that this game just last night did. That erased the modern dynasty, the Alabama Crimson Tide, from the playoff for the first time since the playoff was created. And you had it all. Note also the two quarterbacks in this game. You want to say, oh, there was no defense being played. That was a backup quarterback against a true freshman. You had two young men landing haymakers. One was a backup, one was a true freshman. You've got old women getting caught in the hedges as they try to rush the field. What else do you want? Alabama proved it was not one of the four best teams of the country yesterday, just like it did against LSU, because when it mattered, the two best teams they played, they didn't play Alabama's best football. Mistakes, mental miscues. They couldn't get the stops when a usually steady defense was the strength of so many Saban teams before, couldn't get off the field. Alabama was not one of the four best teams of the country, and they proved it because they couldn't beat the two best teams of their schedule. Speaking of Michigan and Ohio State, how has the Wolverines fallen so far?
Fields gets the snap, hands it to Dobbins, running right side to the Michigan 25. Dobbins to the 20, to the 15, to the 10,
number
and Dobbins
five.
Leaps for the end zone.
Yes!
Got it. Touchdown, J.K. Dobbins. on a 33-yard run. He continues to make Michigan his personal play thing, and it is 55-27 Ohio State.
Is this a talent gap? Is it a preparation gap? Is it a coaching gap? What is the biggest difference between you and Ohio State at this point?
I mean, I'll answer your questions, not your insults. So
that wasn't an insult. I mean, you gave them 118 points in 2 years.
They played really good.
1,100 yards. That's what I'm asking. What's the biggest difference in the gap between you guys?
They played better today.
Paul Keels, Learfield, IMG College on the play-by-play call. That was Harbaugh getting testy after the game. I mean, please. Harbaugh's act is so tired. Okay, this is a guy that is all cameras, never met a microphone he didn't like when it comes to recruiting night. Oh, I'll sleep in that treehouse. I'll take a nap in this sewer. Oh, I'm going to go to the Vatican and throw some footballs around. Can you catch it on camera, everybody? I got stuff to say. Aren't I funny? Look at these glasses. Don't they look like old Woody Hayes glasses? Look at this hat. Doesn't this look like I found it out of your grandma's closet? Isn't that funny? Let's talk. I've got funny things to say. Oh, well, why'd you get your ass kicked again 5 years in a row? Well, I'm not going to answer those insults. Well, what happened, Jim? They played better. Okay, well, why is it like this 5 years in a row? I don't know. They just played better. That's not an answer. You know, Harbaugh's act is so tired because when it behooves him, he's the big clown, very funny, act the part. He's got this whole shtick going on. But when it comes down to why does your ass keep getting kicked by Ohio State every year? This one was at home. This one was against a first-year head coach. And this one you nearly gave up 60 points. I'm not here to answer your insults. It's not an insult. Answer the question. I feel like McEnroe. The question. Answer the question, jerk. Why can't you beat Ohio State? Oh, they played better. Oh, you know what, Jim? I think it's a little bit more than that. And finally, in the NFL today, the Cleveland Browns go back at it with the Pittsburgh Steelers for the first time since the melee. And Freddie Kitchens caught on film wearing a t-shirt that says Pittsburgh started it. Oh, well, perfect.
Quick turnaround to play Pittsburgh again, you know, 2 weeks after, you know, we played them last time, to remain hyper-focused in what we have to accomplish this week and this day is the only thing our team should be focused about. We have to make sure that we do what we can control, and that's control the day. And it's going to be a great atmosphere to play in. We know that. We'll be ready for that.
So let me just get this straight. One of the ugliest incidents in recent NFL memory where your best defensive player and arguably your best player got kicked out of the league for the rest of the season during your playoff stretch and possibly further. A team that has been penalized more than any other team in the NFL and the least disciplined organization in the NFL. Their head coach is wearing a goofy t-shirt that says Pittsburgh started it. Well, I have no idea why the Browns have a losing culture. No idea why this Browns team can't get out of its own way each and every week. I mean, I'm sure Freddie has them completely accountable. I'm sure they're really looking themselves in the mirror and asking themselves what they can do better. I'm sure everything is fine. Freddie Kitchens continues to be a farce, a punchline, a joke. He's the AFC's Jim Tom Sula. All that we are missing is a squeaky fart at a press conference. Freddie Kitchens is in over his head. Freddie Kitchens has proven he does not have the accountability, the discipline, the professionalism, and the experience to get this organization where it needs to go. And wearing a dopey t-shirt out on the town when you are in the middle of a season that has been defined by ugliness, defined by lack of discipline, defined by penalties and sloppy play, just says it all. You expect that guy to fix it? Oh, no. He might as well be on the couch eating fourths with the rest of us watching the football game instead of coaching the football game. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. CBS. On Twitter, hit me up, DA on CBS. When we come back, what a day it was around college football rivalry day. And so we'll hear from the best play-by-play calls across the country. Excessive celebration is next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
NFL action begins next Sunday with the NFL Today, followed by a full slate of regional games. You'll say, you saw it on CBS Sports.
It's Sunday Morning Football with DA.
And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way you can save money switching to GEICO. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Thanks so much for being with us. So many different ways you can listen to Sunday Morning Football each and every week. You can listen to us across the great CBS Sports Radio Network. Also, you can check us out using the SiriusXM Channel 206 on satellite. Also, on your phone, use radio.com as an app or Apple Music or the CBS Sports app. And you can listen to us wherever you are on whatever device you can get those apps on. Or you can go to our website, cbssportsradio.com. We're celebrating 100 years of the NFL all season long right here on Sunday Morning Football. We've had some amazing future Hall of Famers, current Pro Football Hall of Famers, Super Bowl champions, and our guest this week has one of the best stories in NFL history. Rocky Blyer was drafted into the Vietnam War, went there and served, came back as a 16th round draft pick of the Steelers, was cut multiple times, fought his way back from a military injury. Most thought he would never, ever play football again from, not only to make the Steelers, but become backfield mates with Franco Harris and win four Super Bowl rings with the Steelers of the 70s. We'll talk to Rocky coming up here on the show in approximately 10 minutes from now. But first, it's time for Excessive Celebration.
The soundtrack of college football chaos. The announcers losing their minds.
We've got a bunch of folks down there.
He caught it. It's excessive celebration.
It's going to be caught. It's a touchdown. And the Gators have won the game. I can't believe what I just saw. And this place is an insane asylum.
All right, we begin in the Iron Bowl, where back and forth we went. Alabama looking to answer Auburn's score. They are knocking on the goal line. They are trying to push it in. They've gotten multiple penalties within the red zone to extend this drive. And now here's a little swing pass to the right side, but the Bama receiver is not looking at it. And listen to the turn this play makes, which swung enormous momentum in yesterday's huge game.
Jones to throw, floats it to the sideline, and it's intercepted on the play. Down the sideline, Tigers. Smoke Monday, he's going to score! Touchdown, Auburn! Touchdown, Tigers!
An ill-advised throw by Mac Jones. He floated out there, and Smoke Monday, the sophomore, comes up with a huge play for this Auburn defense.
It hit the Alabama receiver in the back. It hit him on the back. He wasn't looking for it. Hit him in the back and then bounces right into the Auburn defensive player's hands, and he goes to the distance from end zone to end zone. What other game could that happen in that had that much on the line? Just a crazy, crazy day in Auburn at Jordan-Hare Stadium. That's from the Auburn Radio Network. Now, in the ACC, a game with a lot less on the line. Syracuse and Wake Forest. This is in overtime. Syracuse has kicked the field goal to go up by three, but with possession, if Wake Forest scores a touchdown, Wake Forest has a walk-off winner. It seems like they're going to get it until...
Certainly Wake has the game in its favor right now. Throws incoming route for Hinton. He's has ripped out of his hands by Trill Williams. Out of the orange to win the game. Williams is going down for bonus points. Williams at the 40, up the near side, 30, at the 20, 15, 10, and that's the capper for the season as Trill Williams rips it out of the hands of the ball carrier and goes the distance for an orange win to close the dome.
Matt Park, Learfield, IMG College. Think about what is on the line. Well, nothing really was on the line, but think about what ends up happening with that walk-off winner. Not only does Syracuse win the game, it's their final game of the year because they're not going to a bowl game, and the Carrier Dome is replacing its roof in the offseason. So all of that ends on that specific play. That really is a walk-off. He walked off the Carrier Dome roof, Trill Williams. And finally, UVA against Virginia Tech in the Commonwealth Clash as UVA clinches a spot in the ACC title game.
Hooker's out of the shotgun. Takes the knee-high snap. Straight drop back. Time to throw this time. And now it's getting away. He's sacked in the end zone. Mandy Alonso comes away with it. Knocks it away. Touchdown,
Who's
Virginia.
Touchdown?
The Cavaliers had taken the lead, stretched it even further. It's a touchdown. Flags fly. No one cares.
What have you won? A 35-point beatdown to Clemson. But we'll wait to see. We'll talk about that at a later date. Learfield, IMG College, on your call as the Virginia Cavaliers make it a good 7-for-7. In the last 7 years, all seven teams from the ACC's Coastal Division have won the division to go to the ACC title game. All seven teams have now made, in the last 7 years, the ACC championship game. Just unreal. And that is your excessive celebration. When we come back, Steelers four-time Super Bowl champion Rocky Blyer.
You have a reservation for year-round excitement with CBS Sports. Your ticket to action.
It's Sunday Morning Football with D.A.
Welcome back to Sunday Morning Football, everybody. D.A. with you, Damon Amendolara. And such a pleasure to be joined by our next guest. He's a four-time Super Bowl champion with the Dynasty Pittsburgh Steelers of the 1970s. He also won a national championship with Notre Dame and was a team captain for the Irish as well. Rocky Blyer joining us this morning here on CBS Sports Radio. It's so good to have you here on the show. And, you know, part of your story, you served in Vietnam after being drafted into the military. And recently you went back there and it was documented by ESPN. And it aired earlier this summer. And it was an extremely emotional visit for you, a really powerful visit, I think, for the viewers as well. How have you been since that visit, the emotions that came up in that visit?
Actually, I've been fine. Going through that experience was very interesting because just a little backstory on it. When I was approached by ESPN to go back to Vietnam and recreate the scenes that had taken place 50 years ago, you know, and I said to them, I do not know what to expect. One is that unlike the majority of returning combat veterans from Vietnam who had to repress their feelings because of how society viewed that conflict and the soldier within that conflict, I said, I came back and, you know, and I was a story. And because of that, they asked me questions that the majority of returning veterans didn't get. How do you feel? What do you think about this? How do you compare, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it was somewhat of a catharsis going through that period of time. Then obviously over the next several decades, I continued to tell the story. And I said, so I don't really have any demons, I don't think, going back and looking at Vietnam. So when we got back and we were in Da Nang and we were going back to Hep Duc, and that was the area in which we had our conflict. It was about an hour and a half drive. And consciously, as I was looking at the changes that had taken place, changes that would happen anywhere in this world over 50 years. I mean, there were roadways, there was commerce, there was buildings. There weren't villages and huts. There are now townships and homes. People that were crowded on the roadways and in their automobiles and their motorbikes, and so it just was a hustle and bustle. And I didn't really process it until we were in that rice paddy, and then Tom Rinaldi asked me the question, "How do you feel?" And then all of a sudden, I have to tell you this, all of a sudden, out of left field, this emotional change took place. I mean, it was really like from the bottom of my soul up through my body of an emotion. I mean, it almost flushed my body of fluids, which happened later. But and I just emotionally became overwrought, as you had seen on that documentary. And I couldn't understand it. I didn't know where it came from. And then only in reflection can I say that possibly it came from, as I said in the rice paddy, why? And the reflection was why. Vietnam hadn't changed, except maybe we have better business, international relationships, commerce with Vietnam. But it's still a communist country. It's still a police state. And the question is, why? Would this have happened if we had not been there? Possibly so, because 50 years changes things. And we lost 58,000 soldiers during that period of time. For what? We didn't win the war. Was it a treaty that had taken place that we felt that we had uphold bad leadership in our government? And so that became the emotional why that I couldn't come to terms with. That just zapped my energy, and thus you saw it on the documentary. So for me, you know, after that, it was fine. It was maybe another catharsis. But it also gave me a little insight of what possibly our veterans go through, or first responders, when we talk about post-traumatic stress, when we talk about mental illnesses, when we talk about strain, when we talk about suicides, maybe in the pain that they experience on a level that I couldn't understand before, maybe it gave me a little insight of what they go through on a constant basis.
What a story. It was an extremely powerful piece, and I encourage anybody to watch it on YouTube. You know, you were cut by the Steelers a couple of times after you came back from Vietnam. But one of the reasons you worked so hard to make that team against all the odds was so that, quote, you never had to ask what if. You said that. Was that military trained thinking or just your own personal belief system?
I'm going to say it's my own personal belief system based on the experiences that I had, you know, based on growing up, based on college, high school, college, you know, ball, based on the service and so on. And it became very, very meaningful for me is that, you know, so there's certain decisions in which you have to make. And from my perspective, you know, as, and I say as an athlete, you know, the perspective of injuries, you know, I hadn't lost an arm or a leg, damaged as I may be. But, you know, you go, okay, fine, given time, it'll heal. And, you know, and you go back and play. The only things I can control are those things that I can control. So that a whole idea is that I don't ever want to look back, you know, and say you should have or I could have. Then at least you can say, hey, I did everything I possibly can. It's out of my control. Obviously, I wasn't good enough or the timing wasn't right and I'm not making it. It's not as if you then have a crutch saying, oh, you know, I should have put more time in. Anyway, that was part of my personal belief.
Rocky Blyer joining us, four-time Super Bowl champion with the Steelers. The NFL 100 celebration has been going on all season long, and recently the 78 Steelers were named the number 3 team of all time behind the 72 Dolphins and the 85 Bears. You okay with that?
Well, I suppose the 72 Dolphins, which was a standard that had been set. I mean, undefeated, had never been done before, never had up until this time. So that was quite an accomplishment. And I say that only because we were they played us in the championship game in which we lost. To them. And And so I give him, you know, a great deal of credit to accomplish that, because we know how difficult that is. 85 Bears, I'll give the 85 Bears, because that's the only thing that they've ever had is the 85 Bears. You run into any Chicago fans, they go, hey, you know, what about the Bears? I said, yeah, 85. You got it. That's right. So they live off the expectations of the 85 Bears. They surpassed it. And yeah, I mean, it was a good team. It was a great team. But it was the 85 Bears. They didn't have four Super Bowls. They weren't in four Super Bowls. To take third place, you know, in that regards, it's pretty good. With an asterisk behind it, given my explanations of the other two.
Rocky Blyer, our guest. Let's talk about the best team you were on that didn't win a Super Bowl, huh? 1976. Terry Bradshaw gets injured. You guys start the season 1-4. You had won back-to-back Super Bowls coming into the season. And then down the stretch, the final nine games, with the C's on the line, the defense pitches five shutouts, gives up 28 points total over nine games. That's 3.1 points per game over a nine-game stretch to make the playoffs. And you guys end up winning in the divisional round in a blowout over the Baltimore Colts before losing the AFC title game in Oakland. What was it like to watch the Steel Curtain pull off Mission Impossible?
It was terrific. I mean, I'm telling you this in all honesty. It was terrific to be able to see that. You know, as you were saying, we lost four out of our first five games. And when you're playing 14 games, I mean, you're behind the eight ball very quickly. And especially the way that we had been playing. When, you know, Bradshaw gets knocked out of the game in Cleveland by Joe Turkey Jones, and our backup quarterback is a rookie by the name of Mike Krusek. So all of a sudden, offensively, you know, we got to pare things down. We have to, you know, establish an easier game plan, not as complicated, and so that we could have a young rookie run that offense. And so that's what they did. A great job done by the offensive line, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But also at the same time, you know, a defense that had been there, okay? I mean, it had been there since 72 and 3 and Super Bowl in 74, Super Bowl in 75, and the expectations, you know, of maybe being the first team to win three Super Bowls in that year of 76 kind of faltered in those first games. And I don't know if it was much as far as the defense or the lack of offense, but we just didn't gel. When all of a sudden they did gel, you heard the statistics that you had just stated, which was an amazing feat within those nine games. But what it does is it's three and out. I mean, they're on the field less than anybody else. I mean, they're three and out, which gives the offense a time to be on the field. And so with a reduced game plan, concentrated on controlling the football, because I think Mike Krusek only threw the ball 17 times in those remaining nine games. And we just ran the ball, ball control, run the clock down, and eventually win the division that year, go to the playoffs, and we play the Baltimore Colts in a playoff game, and both Franco and I get hurt in that game. But what had happened in that season, because of Joe Turkey Jones, because knocking Bradshaw out, because of a rookie quarterback, because of a great defense, I gain 1,000 yards rushing. And Franco and I become the second set of running backs in the history of the NFL, each to gain 1,000 yards rushing after Zonka and Mercury Morris did it in 72. So I have, you know, so I got some great feelings about that season. But that was, you know, and people like to compare, and I think it was a great season, given all those obstacles that we had overcome, given the quality of players that didn't really give up, and that got us to the playoffs. And if it wasn't for those two injuries to our running game, I think specifically, you know, we could have gone on and it would have been a tough game, but I think we could have gone on and been the first team to win three Super Bowls in a row.
Rocky Blyer, our guest here on Sunday Morning Football. You know, who knows what happens if you and Frank are healthy for that AFC title game. What do you think of the job now Mike Tomlin's doing this year with a team missing its quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger and then losing Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown from a season ago?
I think that they are, you know, like a fan, and that's what I've become, and I'm not an analyst at all, but you know, and I watch the game, and I get frustrated at their accomplishments because I look at the team, I look at the talent of the team, you know, and I look at what could be done and what has been done, and then I get disappointed because there's laps of constant play that I think that should be there. But you know, they're sitting in a situation where they're 6-5, you know, within their division. They got a revenge game coming up, obviously this Sunday, or today, I should say, against Cleveland, and then put them in a position to be able to, you know, start a run at the end of the season. But it's very difficult. I mean, I just know how difficult it is when you have changes and when you have injuries, and when you have people like Ben that gets hurt subconsciously, you know, you're going, yeah, but we're missing Ben, or, you know, and Connors isn't there and Juju's not there. And, you know, and can we do it? Yeah. Now the pressure is on the defense, got to pick up. They did that last week. They played very well, but they have to do it on a consistent basis and more of a consistent basis to be able to allow two young quarterbacks, no matter who may start, whether you have the Duck or Mason Rudolph, you know, there, is that, you know, can they get the job done? Well, hopefully, you know, it's like hopefully they can get the job done. Hopefully we can win, rather than a certainty that it can happen.
Rocky Blyer, four-time Super Bowl champion with the Steel Curtain Steelers of the 1970s. A national champion with Notre Dame as well. Rocky, it's always really a pleasure to catch up. Every time that we see each other at the Super Bowl or you come on the show, I always really have such a wonderful time with you. So thanks so much for doing it today.
I'll see you down there. Thank you. Thanks for the time. And you know, it was always great talking to you and being on your show and catching up. So I do appreciate it.
My pleasure. Rocky Blyer, one of the greats, four-time Super Bowl champion with the Steelers, joining us this morning here on Sunday Morning Football as we celebrate 100 years of the NFL here on CBS Sports Radio this year. Really cool conversation, really cool memory lane with Rocky. And this year's Steelers team take on the Cleveland Browns today. A rematch of the melee from a couple of weeks back in the Myles Garrett, Mason Rudolph situation. How will that go? When we come back here on the show, we'll talk about the Iron Bowl. Alabama looking sloppy yet again in a big game. Does this unfortunately signal an end of something in Tuscaloosa? And Ravens and Niners today. Is this a Super Bowl preview? D.A. Damon Amendolara. This is CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.